Now, everybody that has a Bible, I want you to turn into it to Luke's Gospel. We're going to be going to three places today. Luke's Gospel. The Bowen family have heard the Luke's Gospel chapter 15, but they hadn't heard the others. Because I preached this message last week in Andrews, Texas. A message that, look at me, it's on my notes. See it? I got 1, 2, and 3. But all y'all know usually that I'm not much of a note taker, but this keeps me kind of in order. But when you're led by the Spirit of God, God could change the order. Or He might not want me to go to any of these and go to something else. A message was placed on my heart about 3 weeks ago. My son has a horse named Rocky. Now, not trying to get you in our business, but this horse cost a lot of money. I almost had to sell all my wife's clothes, all her shoes. That'd been bad, huh? I'd got killed, but praise God, my wife is a faith person, so she would hopefully raise me from the dead. And I'm telling you, this horse is an amazing horse. He's about now probably 9 years old. Huge, big horse. And he's a head horse. And he's a large horse. And usually when, if you understand roping, and that's just what I've done since I was a little kid, is we've roped professionally since I got out of high school. And still now steer rope professionally. And thank God can win. But this horse is just amazing. He's so big that in the roping industry, a lot of times the bigger and longer, lankier they are, not lanky as far as size, but just long-legged, their strides are really long, the bigger the horse is. They don't handle the steer behind them like a horse that's gathered up, you know, and not as lanky. So a lot of ropers really want horses that have a smaller stride. They're not stretching out, but I mean, they're quick, don't get me wrong. Well, this horse, even though he's so big, still handles the steer, you know, where the heelers that are coming behind, it's just easy to rope behind this horse, and that's just how he is. Amazing. But about 3 weeks ago, he started running off. And I mean, a lot of things went through our mind. I mean, Seth would just let him go, and he would get to the steer and then pass the steer. And that's a no-no. You want what they call in roping a horse to rate. And when they rate, that means they are cowing the steer. A lot of times you'll see a horse back his ears, and they'll bite on a cow. That means they have cow. And you want that horse to then track the steer. And when they don't have any rate, then it's hard to rope because, I mean, you're just basically going by the steer. And, I mean, he's a jerking trying to get this horse to rate and to get in the position for him to rope the steer. And, I mean, he's not just running off the first time, but he ran off several times. And then he went to a rope and he ran off there. Now, listen to me. This is a horse that cost my family quite a bit of money. And that is pretty precious, not worship-wise, but, you know, man, I don't want to throw money out the window, but in order to have good horses, you got to spend it. And God's blessed us to where, you know, we were able to buy this horse. But now we're thinking, wow, maybe we should sell this horse. I mean, now we have a horse that is not working the way he should. And I'm thinking, Seth, with those big old spurs you got on your boots, you've got him scared. And he's just running off. Well, found out that Seth changed the bit and the tie down on the horse because he thought that maybe he could work a tad bit better. And so I told the crowd at Andrews, I said, well, the first lesson you ought to learn, even biblically, is if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But as we were being led by the Spirit of God, because we're Christians, I don't just act religious, if you want to use that word, or spiritual, up here behind the podium. I am who I am, out there just like in here. I'm constantly speaking the Word of God. I'm teaching my son how to speak God's Word. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I'm teaching him how to operate by faith. According to Hebrews, faith, it uses the word now faith, it's the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. In other words, in cowboy terms, you've got to believe in a God that you cannot see physically. You see his results, of course. You see his creation. You see the trees that he created and all that. But physically, you don't see the Father, and you definitely don't see the Son, and you don't even see the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. So by faith, you got to believe in them, though, without seeing them. Now, thank God, 33 and a half years, the Lord Jesus walked and lived and breathed and healed and saved, etc., and people saw it, you know. And then it's recorded in this book, the Word of God. And so being led by the Spirit, I'm thinking, all right, hang on a second. If the horse is working good one day and now not the next, then maybe we need to do some adjustments. I want to deliver this message in the way today so that it'll help you understand that every now and then in everyone's lives is going to take some adjustments, some corrections. Now, most of you know that the Word of God is what corrects us believers in Jesus. Not some preacher. I'm just supposed to speak and declare the Word. I know it's easy for all of us to throw in our opinions, but really what is truth and makes us free is the Word of God. Now, when Seth made a couple of corrections, and guess what they were? Put the old bit and the tie down back on him. The tie down was one that he could feel on top of his head that when he picked it up, that reminded this horse to, uh-oh, I need to listen to what's in my mouth, which is a bit. Remember, the Word of God talks about a bit being like the rudder of a ship. It's so small, this little old thing called a rudder of the ship, but it steers the large boat. It's the same with a bit in a horse's mouth. No matter how powerful they are, and this horse probably weighs 1,400 pounds, but this one little bit is what controls him. And that tie down that's keeping his head down a little bit is reminding this horse that whatever happens with the left hand with a bit, the horse needs to respond. It was just a minor correction. And guess what happened? The horse started working like he did prior. Matter of fact, yesterday at the high school rodeo, Seth turned to steer and was 5'8". And his partner did rope a leg, but they still, and that's a 5-second penalty when you don't rope both feet in the behind. You only rope one. They still won fourth. And that right there solidified Seth making the state high school rodeo finals in Abilene. He moved from seventh up to about third or fourth. And then they still have today that we're going to go to in Hamilton after this service. The point is there was some correction that took place. So why don't we look at a few places in the Word of God where there was some correction that changed everything. Do you have a Bible? Turn into it, Luke chapter 15. And when you're at Luke chapter 15, say amen so I know you're there. Now, anybody that's not there, just yell out, oh me, and I'll wait on you to get there. Is there anybody? Any oh me's? Who's scared that's still turning to say, oh me? I want you to look at verse 11. This is in red. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And it's going to be a familiar parable when I tell you what it is. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them, the two brothers, his livelihood in this translation. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country. Now, before I tell you the rest of it that you've already read probably, this is the parable of the prodigal son. And most of you know or have heard of this parable. Here's two boys. The younger asked this dad to give him the inheritance that he is due usually when the dad or the mom dies. Then it's transferred over and it goes down to the next generation, the kids. But here's the son saying, I want it now. The dad obliged, gave it to the two sons, and then we know here what actually happened. When he divided it, the son gathered, went and journeyed to a far country, and then did what? Wasted it. He wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Or in the King James, it says riotous living. When you start spending all that you have in the way that he spent it, it was reckless. Matter of fact, prostitution, it was very bad, evil, devilish things that caused him. Because how many of you know that's what the devil's job is? John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to, say it with me, steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job, and you need to understand his job. He does not want to bless you. It's not in his vocabulary. It's not in his nature. The enemy does not even know how to bless someone. I've heard that before, though. Well, I'm not going to serve God. I'm going to serve the devil so I can live like the world. No, no, no. The devil will kill a non-believer just like he'll kill a believer if the believer allows him. Now, thank God the believer has the blood of Jesus. The believer has the authority to use the name of Jesus that is above all names. So we've got protection. We got the blood. Thank God. Say amen to that. But read on with me. When he spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Verse 15. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the citizen, the boss, sent him into the fields to feed swine or pigs. Think about it. Here this man had everything, this son had everything at one moment. Spent it all on riotous or prodigal living, and now he's having to feed pigs. And then it goes, I'd have gladly filled my stomach, which means he was hungry, with the pods that the pigs or the swine ate, because no one would give him anything. Verse 17 is where the correction comes. What does it say? But when he came to himself. I don't know about y'all, but we need to come to ourselves at times. We need to stop living in fear and doubt and unbelief and start coming to ourselves and living by faith. We need to get a backbone in our country. We need to get a backbone in our marriages. We're going to need to get a backbone in our relationships that we're going to do the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We need to get a backbone and say no to the devil and his schemes and tactics and come to ourselves and wake up. Because there needs to be awakening, especially in the country that we live in. That's a good place to clap now. Don't give me no golf clap. If you're going to clap, clap. Make the hands hurt. Okay. So be ready. He came to himself. Now, a few things I noticed when he came to himself. That was a good correction. If he hadn't come to himself and recognized some things, then nothing would have happened. But he still was a tad bit negative here. He says, when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough, have bread enough and to spare? And here I am perishing with hunger." He came to himself again and said, I'll arise and go to my father." Now that took a big, you had to be pretty humble right here to then go to the father and admit, "I've done wrong." Well, that's exactly what he did, because again, he's making some corrections. He's making some adjustments in his life. But again, still a little bit negative. He'll say, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you." Now, that's a pretty good thing for us spiritually to say to our Father when we do something wrong. "Father, forgive me, I did it. I mean, you already knew I did it, but I just want to confess it." But now, what does the Father do? "I forgive you, and then I remember it no more as far as the east to the west." But you got to confess it, see. Because even though God knows it. Now, check it out. He goes on to say, "I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer," this is the negative part, "to be worthy to be called your son. So just make me one of the hired servants." In other words, the enemy had attacked him so much that his mind went from the heir that he was with his father that gave him his inheritance to, "Hey, just make me a hired servant." And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him. Think about that for a minute. Because our Father does the very same thing to you and I. He doesn't beat us up over the head with the Bible. He doesn't make us have guilt and condemnation. Now the devil does, but not our God. No, he just says, "I've got compassion on you. I have grace. I have mercy." That's what the Father did to this boy. He had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, he still had a negative confession, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servant, all over, y'all, the correction that the son did and the love of this father, the father said, "Nope. To his servants, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put on a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf." Now, if you're a cowboy, look at me. That's what you want. You know you're in hog heaven when you get the fatted calf. Not some little old skinny, mucho flaco novia. That just means the skinny steer. Polo's been teaching me Spanish, okay? No. He said, "I want the fatted calf here. Kill it and let us eat and be married." Why? Well, my son was dead, but because he made some correction, because he made some adjustments in his life, now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found, and they began to be merry. You see, there's something about making a correction, and that's what this prodigal son did. He said, "I came to myself. I started recognizing that I have messed up, and now it's time to go to the Father. Father, forgive me." Just leave out all the "I'm not worthy" junk, because you are worthy. Even if you've done something wrong yesterday or this morning, you're still worthy to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Come on now. All right. Now, again, we need some adjustments and corrections just like the prodigal son did. Back up just a few pages to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I got 15 minutes. And I've got a brand new Bible that a minister gave me. Okay, I got them. All right, look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. And now a woman having a flow of blood, the King James says an issue of blood, for 12 years. Listen, this is the parable of the woman with the issue of blood. Okay? She had it for 12 years. She spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, but came from behind and touched the border of Jesus' garment, or in the King James it says she touched the hem of his garment, and then immediately her flow of blood stopped. But look at the correction that she made, because in that day, if you had any kind of blood issue, and women understand this, but if you had any blood issue in that day, you were commanded to stay inside, because it could spread disease. But what did she do? She made a correction in her mind. She knew, praise God, that if she just touched the hem of Jesus' garment, that she would be healed. There's times when the world may tell you to do one thing, but if God's word says to do the other, do the other. Do God's word. It may take a correction. It may take an adjustment. It may take you to get out of that tradition that started with great-grandmama, that went to grandmama, that went to mama, and now is to you. Because if God says to do something different, by golly, listen to God and don't do it just because it's a tradition. See, there's some adjustments and some corrections that we must make. And here a woman did just that. I got up and I went and touched the hem of his garment, the border of his garment, and immediately she was healed. See, there's something about the faith of this woman. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng you and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "No, listen to me. Somebody had a correction. Somebody had an adjustment, and they touched me, and I perceived power going out from me." You see, there's something about having a corrected mind of fear, doubt, and unbelief to faith. The faith of man that mustard seed that moves mountains. See, there's something about a correction or an adjustment that all of us must make. And usually it starts with this mouth. Again, remember my message? If you can't speak the word, just shut up. Okay? Let's go on real fast. While we're verse 49. Let's go up. No. Go 47. "Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason that she touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Now go in peace.'" Wow. Praise God. Maybe we need to do this. Some corrections. Some adjustments. Now look at the next part. "While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Your daughter is dead.'" Don't trouble the teacher. Don't trouble Jesus. Now, she's already dead. It's over. Ha, ha, yo mama. Because what did verse 50 say? "But when Jesus heard it, he answered and said, 'Don't be afraid. Only believe.'" Correction. Did you get it? Let me read it again. Don't be afraid, only believe. Remember the word of God that says all things are possible to him that? Come on, preacher. Come on, people. Come on. All things are possible to him. And all God's saying is, hey, don't be afraid, only believe, and she'll be made well. When he came to the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John. Why? Because he wanted agreement. Very seldom, if anything is going on in my life, I don't tell nobody. I don't put it on Facebook. Just me. You do whatever God tells you to do. But I can promise you, you put it on Facebook, there's going to be a whole bunch of people out there that don't believe in healing, and they start confessing, uh-oh, they got cancer. Uh-oh, they're probably going to die. And I don't want that being spoken against me. I don't tell nobody usually except anybody that believes. Don't get mad at me. If you put it on Facebook, that's your own business. But not me. Because there's a lot of people on there that are not believers. Okay. Now, check it out. Do not weep. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Verse 53. They ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, all the unbelievers. Anybody, even if it was Peter, James, and John that was for him at one minute and had the right confession, they believed. But if they got any kind of doubt, fear, and unbelief, he got them out. Get out of here. And look what happened. He took her by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. That's what he did with who's that man was dead for? Lazarus? Lazarus, come forth! Lazarus! Well, you may need to do that in a correction or an adjustment in your life. Start speaking to your mind. I prayed for this man of God this morning who told me that the doctors told him his blood and his bones have some issues and might have to take chemotherapy. And what did I ask you? I said, do you believe in healing? And he said, yes. I said, well then, let's pray right now. We don't have to wait for the service to be here. Let's pray. And I grabbed his hand, didn't I? And I said, Father, in Jesus' name, in the name that's above every name, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, God created you whole. Remember, that's what I prayed. He didn't make you barely whole. No, he made you whole from the top to the bottom. All we did was we spoke to the mountain of a doctor saying, you've got cancer and you're going to have to take chemotherapy. All we did is I was trying to rise faith in you so that you can speak to the mountain of cancer. And then when you go into the doctor, what we're going to believe is the doctor says, hey, why are you here? Nothing's wrong with you, sir. It may take some correction. How many times have you heard someone say, and I read it the other day, you know, my cancer came back. My cancer, well, wait a minute. It's not your cancer. My God, Jesus died for that. It's not yours and you don't need to take it. There's got to be some adjustments and some corrections because this little girl arose and was healed. Let's do one more real fast. Go to your right, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Check this out. Go fast. Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 13. Then there was one in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance to me. But he said to them, man, who made me judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them and said this, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. Praise God. and there I'll store all my crops and my goods. Listen to this. I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be married. Now, God began to correct some things right here, but God said to him, fool, I like that. I mean, that's the reason that God gave me that message. If you can't speak the word of God, then just shut up. Even though I don't really talk that way, I don't tell anybody I might say, hey, be quiet. Zip it. But shut, that's a pretty strong way of saying something, right? But look what God said through the Lord Jesus. Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? In other words, if they're stored up, what good's it going to be with people if they can't have the stuff? I mean, here you are planting the seed. Then there's the harvest and you're storing it all up instead of being a blessing to people, letting them have it. So he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God? This is the parable, verse 22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's the correction. Don't you worry, because worry is actually a sin. Don't worry what you're going to eat, nor about your body, what you're going to put on. Life is more than food, and the body is, see, there's some correction right here. There's an adjustment, more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they don't sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses or barns, and God still feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? Listen to me, look at me. There's a time that you've got to take some correction. God's trying to say right here, stop being concerned about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Why don't you just start being concerned that he's the provider? I'm not worrying about it. If God be for me, who can be against me? I can do all things through Christ. Christ, through Christ, through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. God, you said you'll meet my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My Lord, I'm sweating. Do we have air conditioning? No, we do. It's just not on. I don't know why. It's okay, though. We're almost done. Open the doors. The point is, correction, adjustment, correction. Say that with me. Correction, adjustment. See, there's something about having a little small correction, just like that horse. Put the right bit in his mouth, put the right tie down that kind of pulled that head down and made him feel it right on the top, right behind his ears. And all of a sudden, man, he's back. He's back. I don't have to sell him and lose money. No. He's back. Why? Correction. Just a little bit of an adjustment. And he's back. If the word isn't broke, don't try to fix it. And I can promise you the word is yes and amen. Matter of fact, the Bible calls this word truth that will make us free. And all it'll be is just a little correction in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just your word. Thank you, Lord, that we receive this word by faith in Jesus' name. If there's anybody in here that needs correction, sir, we're willing. You don't beat us up. You don't make us have guilt or condemnation. Nope. If we need a little bit of correction or an adjustment that's going to help us, then we want that. So, Father, thank you for this word in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are here this morning, you're watching, wherever you're watching, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's time to do it now. Don't you dare wait. Because I'm not going to say it that way. You need to understand you have power in your tongue over life and death. But I'm here to tell you, if Jesus is not the Lord, then the enemy, the devil, the one that got kicked out of heaven and all his demons with him, does not want you to survive. He would rather have you dead so that you can't give your life to Jesus. If you're listening to me in this auditorium or you're watching me in any way and you've never made Jesus, we're talking Jesus, the Son of God that we celebrated in December, his birth. And in 2 weeks, we're celebrating his resurrection. If you've never made him the Lord of your life, do it now. Don't wait. When you leave this earth, if he's your Lord, you'll bust heaven wide open. Oh, man, forever and ever. The Bible calls it eternity. But regretfully, because God's not a man that he can lie, there's another place called hell. It was not made for me and you. It was really made for Satan and his demons. But the fall. Adam and Eve in a garden didn't obey God, and there became a nature of sin. The good news is we're going to celebrate in 2 weeks Jesus' resurrection, that we don't have to live by the nature of sin any longer. We live by God's nature of grace and mercy and forgiveness. But you have to receive Jesus as Lord in order to go to the Father in heaven. That's John 14. Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess with your mouth, not under your breath, not in your mind, confessing Jesus as Lord, and then believe that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, born again. You'll go to heaven when you leave this earth, but if Jesus is your Lord, you'll have heaven here on earth available to you. Peace, joy, all the things that the world does not have, God has it. The promises. Correction, adjustment. So the question this morning, is he your Lord? If you died and left this earth, would you go to heaven or hell? Because you're only going to one of two places. If Jesus is your Lord, you're going to go to heaven. If not, then God says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. The reason I preach all over the country and I'm here this morning is I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't care if you've stabbed me in the back, you cuss me. I still don't want you going to hell. I want you to go to heaven. That's just where my heart is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. And if there's anyone in this sanctuary, or if there's anyone watching that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to do it right now. By praying this prayer. All you believers, you know you're saved. I want you to pray this prayer with us. With someone maybe around you that's praying it for the first time. We'll just pray it with them. But we'll also learn the prayer. But let's pray it just like this. And I want you to pray it out loud where your ears can hear it. We're going to ask Jesus to come into our life. You ready? Believers, again, would you pray this prayer with us? Say, Father in heaven, open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of all my sins. Jesus, I believe that you have been raised from the dead. And I thank you for being my Savior. I thank you for being my friend. I thank you for being my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you look up, every head bowed and every eye closed, please. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, don't you dare be ashamed. Jesus was not ashamed to die for us. Please don't be ashamed of him being your Lord. So if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up and say, God, that was me. I just gave my heart to you. I said that prayer and I meant it. And I gave him, I'm saved this morning. I just prayed that prayer for the first time. And then just put your hand back down, because that's really what you're saying when you raise it up. I'm not afraid. I confessed that prayer this morning for the first time. If that's you and you gave your heart to Jesus and you never had, you never knew if you'd go to heaven or hell, but now you do. You're going to heaven because Jesus is your Lord. Get that hand up when I say three with boldness. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Anybody? Look at me, y'all. Very seldom is there not one hand, and I'm okay with that. But this church is an amazing church, because watch next week. Watch Easter Sunday, because we're going to believe a lot of people get saved. But it doesn't matter, because we receive this message by faith, and we is here for the right reason. Amen? I can't thank you enough for being here. I love you. All the visitors, appreciate you coming. If you don't have a church home, next week, right before Easter, if you've never joined this church and you believe that, a lot of people join it the first time they come. We're going to do that next week, and Heidi's going to remind me to do that next week. If you've never joined our church, it doesn't matter how long you've been coming. It's time you join and make a covenant with us, a promise. We're going to preach the word. You come to church. Amen? And be a part. You need to join. It's time that you plant in a body. Where you're planted is where you grow. Amen? All right. Stand to your feet.